1460 WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm here to listen to you. Are you out of work? Are you in career limbo? Are you struggling over next steps? Let's navigate this transition together. Call in now at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. 0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And where we left off on our break was we were talking about quitters, and actually we're talking about never giving up and seeing our things through. And Alfred Hitchcock was a great reminder of that, that he in fact loved making movies, but the real fun was not actually making the movie. It was actually figuring it out what to do. But in life, as in making movies, you gotta do it. And which reminds me of a Teddy Roosevelt quote that goes like this in terms of being in the arena and following through. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds. Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So, if you have doubts, fear not. Just go out, as the Nike folks say, and just do it. And that also means if you like to give us a call, give us a call, because you might have something that you want to talk about or talk through about an idea, no matter whether or not you think it's silly or not. Give us a call at 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110. You're listening to WVOX Radio. It's Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. Simply give us an email also at doc@brandtalkradio.com. I don't know if you had the opportunity of seeing my interview with Chris Cotter on Cavuto's show on Fox Business last week. But as I had mentioned, there was something to be learned there, and that was the importance of frequency. And that frequency is a good thing in advertising and branding. And why is it a good thing? Why is frequency such a good thing? Because it affects two behaviors. Number one, it affects behavior change, that the psychological principle that the more someone hears something, the more likely they are to remember it. So the more they hear a commercial, the more they're going to remember it. And also this idea that the more the commercials add, the greater likelihood that many more people are going to see the ad or are going to hear the message. And so this is a very, very good thing for us to remember, so that what we want to in fact do is remember that when we are promoting ourselves. And I guess that's what I like to leave you with. But what I have now is a caller on the line, and as I always like to say, what's your name, what's your brand, where you from?
Hey, John, it's Greg calling from Yonkers.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
How's it going?
Okay, kid. What are you doing?
I saw that you were going to be on Fox today, but I actually miss it, and I was wondering what you're talking about, because I was interested in tuning in, but I couldn't.
Well, we
make
talked
it.
About, I've been playing the Abercrombie and Fitch, and that's what we talked about. It was the, you know, and them being the loser of the week. What did you think about that? Are you familiar with it?
Is that the thing with the guy from the Jersey Shore?
Yes, yes. And yeah, so what did you think?
That's honestly all I know. I just heard about it, but I didn't know what.
Well, okay.
What it was about.
Okay. Well, basically what they did is Abercrombie felt that their image was being taken advantage of by the Jersey Shore. They were not the right type of people to be wearing their clothing.
Did he pay them? They pay them not to wear their clothes.
Well,
right?
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I don't think any money changed hands. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I've never seen a country do something, a company do something like that. So it was pretty interesting.
Do you believe them? Or do you think? Oh, go ahead.
Well, did they deny it?
No, they didn't deny it. You don't kind of feel that there might be something else going on. They just might have done this as a publicity.
It wouldn't surprise me, because they came out right when the Jersey Shore series started again. So
yeah,
they might be trying to just ride the train there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let me ask you, if you don't mind,
mm-hmm.
Do you wear A&F clothing?
I do have some articles, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Did it offend you when you saw the situation using the A&F brand? Did it affect you in any way?
Not at all.
Not at all. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I just think it was
publicity.
Yeah.
It's that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But you know, I'm only one man. I like to find out what you guys think. You
wow.
know?
You're a very smart man. You're on Fox News.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Greg, thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, give us a call. That's great, Greg. Thanks for giving us a call. And what we're going to do now is we're going to move into the Did You Know That, the perennial crowd favorite, where Did You Know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? We take this world filled with iPods and countless devices for granted, but it was the request of one man and the tireless imagination of a team that made this world possible. The year was 1978. A Japanese executive wondered if there was a way to listen to his beloved operas on the long trans-Pacific flights he frequently took. He turned to his top engineer, Nobu Toshi Kahara, for a solution. What Nobu Toshi delivered was groundbreaking, a lightweight cassette player that could produce extraordinary sound quality. The executive recognized that what had begun as a solution to a personal need would have universal appeal. But right off the bat, he had a big problem. People simply weren't used to wearing earphones and carrying their music around with them. The device risked becoming a flop. His team took to the streets, parks, and subways of Tokyo. They got people to try the device, and when they did, they bought. The product was its own best advertisement. Within a year, the player was flying off the shelves around the world. The company was Sony. The player, the legendary Walkman. One of the best-selling audio devices of all time, and the one that kicked off all those gadgets that we now make part of our lives. And now you can say, yes, I know that. And now a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend, and I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you are not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141, or visit them on the web at whitmoregroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
We are back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX AM Radio 1460. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm your host. And if you're in transition or you want to take stock of your life or what I like to call your brand, call in at 914-636-0110. No question is too big or too small. That's 914-636-0110. And now what I like to do is do like a little recap on Did You Know That? And we like to start by saying, where does a successful invention come from? Is it only a big idea? No, it's many things coming together. The big idea is only one part. The Sony stories tells us something about important about inventions and how they catch on. Just like the Gillette story, need is at the bottom of it all. If there is a need for what you have invented, then they will in fact come. That's right. Marketing at its best is at the center of the invention. It is about keeping our keeping in fact the mindset that drives people behind inventing concepts until they really finish, and what they do is meet people's needs. With the Sony Walkman, we started with one man's need, the head of a company who loved opera and wanted to listen to it on long flights. But the thing that most needs, if they are often universal, is that they have that we in fact have to address them in a personal way so that they will in fact be they will be successful. But even when they had their new device, the process of invention wasn't easy. People didn't accept it. It was marketing. It was the brilliant move to show how the device met the need that connected with their target audience. And just like with our friend with the shopping cart who hired people to push the thing around stores so they could see how it worked, this is how in fact people in fact realize that these innovations can in fact fulfill their need. The point here is whether you are branding a small business, your career, or virtually anything else, the thing itself must meet a need when you've got the when you've got to show that the target market has a need for this product. Bottom line, it's all about sampling and getting people to buy into what you're selling because they, in fact, have a need for the product. And I like to talk about the sampling that when I was in Ridgewood in the mid-60s, Joe and John's Pizza in the old neighborhood, what did they do when they first opened up? They opened up, they gave free pizza to everyone, and that pizzeria is still around with their children running it. So there you have it. And we have someone on the line. What's your caller? What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hey, marketing doctor. I'm Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
New York.
Yes, Charlie.
And first, I want to say I love the fact that your show's on the air. The fact that there's a business show that's not about finance and not about politics.
But, well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
I wanted to talk to you about the idea of always listening to your target market. The fact that, you know, I feel like there's a mantra out there that's saying, listen, if you want to know what to do, ask your customers, ask your market. Mm-hmm. The reason that bothers me a little bit is I'll tell you first, I have an entrepreneurial background.
Sure.
I'm a software entrepreneur. A lot of my clients are entrepreneurs. And I like to focus on the fact that we're innovative. We've got ideas about what the future is going to look like and what our, you know, with these entrepreneurial products can do to change the status quo. And I normally find that customers don't have the vision to think about what the future is going to be like. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like stuck stuck in the present. They might, you know, it's good to listen to your customers and to get incremental advice about, you know, your mashed potatoes are cold when you serve them. You know, that kind of thing you have to listen to customers about. But if you're inventing a whole new product, or, you know, your company's going in a new direction, I think Steve Jobs he doesn't listen. He doesn't ask the customers what they want. He tells them what they want. So what do you, you know, how do you respond to that? And, you know, what kind of back and forth is there?
Oh, I hope this comes off sincere. You have really hit on a very, very, your question is right on the mark. And the best way to respond to that is that research, and that's what we do in marketing, we do research. It's not only a science, it's an art. And it's the interpretation of what it is that people need. So if you were to ask Steve Jobs, how do you go about satisfying customers' needs? He would probably tell you, I look at my customers in terms of making technology, making their lives easier by technology. That's it. Doesn't what you're kind of criticizing or in fact objecting to is the idea that you can't specifically project what it is that people want, and you're probably right about that, but that's what you get in concept testing, and which is when you ask a consumer, what about a product that you would be able to take your music anywhere you want, and it would be able to fit in your pocket, and what you would want to do is you don't even need batteries for it. And you get data based on that. And so you are constantly exploring through research. But you are correct. The exact way you're going to fill that need is not there yet. And let me make one point here. Look at the first iPod, or I should say the first iPad, the Newton. Was that a success? No. Okay. And there could be a lot of reasons why. That was an Apple product, and there was a lot of reasons why it wasn't. And I would think a lot of it had to do was it wasn't ready for market, and it was prematurely released, and that was a problem. The point I'm making is that what you try to do when you're doing research and trying to identify these needs, and in technology, you are correct that it's a little bit harder to do, but nevertheless, that's what you have to do. I'm sorry, I wanted to make the point. What did you want to say, Charlie? Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I think that's a good point. But you know, I think what we're getting at is listening to your target market. Part of the rule applies to different stages in the development.
Yes, very well said.
If Steve Jobs had asked people whether they wanted an iPad, I think the majority of people would have laughed at it and said, not really.
I couldn't agree with you more.
We already have notebook computers.
Right.
What's the difference? You know,
that's
I get a full keyboard on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could see the value of it until they actually experienced using it.
That's right.
And so taking that concept out to a focus group would destroy the idea. But you make a good point that once the product's out there, like maybe the first Newton was out there, that you bring to the you bring to the focus groups and you say, now what do you think? And you adapt it, you improve it based on listening to what they're telling you.
Yes. Well, I think you gave us plenty to think about, and thank you so much for calling. Do you have anything else you'd like to
no.
add? Well, thanks for calling, Charlie, and hope to hear from you again. And if you have a question, we're at 914-636-0110. This is WVOX Radio, 1460 on your dial. This is Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. And if you prefer the email approach, keep your emails terse and pithy at doc@brandtalkradio.com. And now, for all of my restaurant listeners, here we go. We're going to give you the how to go brand a successful restaurant. And hint, consistency. It's a branding imperative. And I've written and spoken a lot about consistency, and that's giving the customer a consistently positive experience with your brand. And it is the key to a successful long-term branding, and that's what you find at the finest restaurants. And going to fine restaurants is one of my favorite pastimes. Some people play golf, others play tennis. I go to restaurants with my clients, and we have great meals, and we also drink great wine. And anyway. And in Manhattan, it should be no secret. And by the way, in Westchester here, there are so many great restaurants, too many to name. And I will be going to one of them a little bit later for dinner. So I don't want you to think I'm not thinking of the wonderful restaurants in Westchester and in, of course, New Rochelle and, of course, White Plains. And of course, Yonkers. Great, great restaurant. And I'm sure I'm going to get heat for not mentioning some other Westchester great towns where there are great restaurants. But nevertheless, in New York City, restaurants come and go. I believe that the success rate in the restaurant business is about 25%, because everybody has this idea that they want to they want to own a restaurant, but when they realize that the amount of work that's involved in it, it's just absolutely incredible. Well, one of my favorite restaurants, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, is Le Bernardin. And they've been open since 1986, and it's my favorite seafood French restaurant in the city. And every time I go to Le Bernardin, you know that you're going to leave happy. You're not going to only leave happy because of the staff. You're going to leave happy because you've had a great meal. And Eric Repair, who is the chef, prepares the food flawlessly and lets the main ingredients do the talking. And he doesn't overpower with spices or sauces, but uses it just the right way. I hate going to a restaurant when the next day you have food hangover. It's the worst. And part of the restaurant's brand, by the way, is bringing the dinner to a new culinary experience with the best ingredients. And what Eric does is he, in fact, actually shops for the ingredients himself, which just makes it a great culinary experience. And the staff, I mean, you're talking about one of the best restaurants in New York City. Very, very hard to to get into. But once you get into that, once you're at that table, they make you feel terrific. So, and I asked, I commented to Eric about that, and he said to me, we have meetings, and if my staff isn't doing the right thing, it's going to reflect on my food. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Here's a guy who's considered one of the best, if not the best. I believe he was ranked the number one restaurant in the United States in terms of seafood. I mean, if he can do it, I think any restaurateur could do it. But my hat goes off to anyone in the restaurant business. So what are the Tantillo secrets to, or what does La Bernardin do to make this a great experience? Be consistent. Your customer has got to believe without a doubt that they can count on your brand every time. And that's number two, that consistently just doesn't happen. There's a lot of hard work and planning going behind any sort of meal that is placed in front of you. And as I said, Eric makes sure that the freshest ingredients are chosen and makes sure that you will enjoy that. I remember one day going in and he asked me what I wanted and what my guests wanted and made a delicious off-the-menu dinner. That was one of the best I've ever had. That's the kind of thing that you want to experience when you're, in fact, at a restaurant. Remember that your customer really comes first. And, I mean, you're in a service business, so you have to, in fact, remember that. And that's what it's all about. And I just want to say that's a wrap to one of our shows. We're going to see you next week here on WVOX. And remember, it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind. See you next week.
Thanks for taking us with you.
I listen to your station all the time.
AM 1460 WVOX New Rochelle and WVOX Worldwide.